Item number seven is the approval of a construction contract with Arbor Corporation for stormwater basin repairs at the Navajo Avenue area. Item number eight is the approval of the consultant work and agreement and amendments for the environmental impact report and traffic impact study. This is related to the reuse of the boys' school out off Airport Road. I should note that this is a pass-through item where we need additional work done and the developer will be reimbursed the city. And then finally, item number nine, at your last meeting, you held first reading of the large zoning code update. So this is second reading of that comprehensive zoning code update. Of course, we went through quite a bit of discussion at the last meeting. So just for the public and for the council, this second reading adopts the bulk of that zoning code update, with the exception of those items that you exempted, I'll say last time, including Oak Tree, commercial vehicle work, and home occupation. I think those were the three main ones. So this is just the second reading of everything else that you talked about last time. And with that, that concludes the overview of the consent calendar. Happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you, Chris. Okay, these are items on consent that are not normally considered routine and do not normally require separate discussion. However, any member of the council or the public that wishes to have specific questions or wants a clarification to be given on an item, we can address that now before the vote is taken. Or if somebody from the council or the public wishes to have a full discussion on an item, that will cause the item to be pulled from the consent calendar and moved to the end of the discussion items portion of tonight's agenda. So having start off with, I'll start with Council Sharon Brooke.
I have some questions on number four.
Okay, go ahead.
What is POST?
POST is a police officer association. It's the Peace Officers Standard Training is
okay.
What it stands for. It's a statewide agency that all police officers and peace officers have to go through.
And I'm referring to a portion of this side letter of agreement that we're able to get reimbursed for $7,500. For someone who's going through the police academy and lives outside of 60 miles of...
Yeah, I believe it's 40 miles, but it might... Yeah.
Well, I think it says 60 here.
60, okay.
Before it was $600 a month, and now we're looking at bumping it up to $1,500, which would be $9,000, which goes over the $7,500. Why not keep it at equal at $7,500? That's still a bump. That's my one question. And
it's 5 months. I'm sorry. It's a 5 month academy.
So. Oh, I thought it said it was 6 months. I apologize. 6 month academy is what it has here.
I was hoping I was just going to finish it.
Mayor, he tried.
Damian Nord, police chief. So, in order to try to onboard officers faster, we used to just go through Long Poke Academy. We have now extended that to the Ventura Academy, which that academy is actually a month longer. It's a little more rigorous. It has a little more stuff involved. But, yes, so it does. That is what obviously is causing some of this, the cost to go up tremendously, because the cost to stay there is much more expensive than in Long Poke.
But at the 600, which it was, would be 3,600. And we have an allowance, quote unquote, of 7,500. But if you use the 1,500, now we're up to 9. Why not bump it from the 36 to 75 and hold it there? Why was the increase necessary above that?
Now I'm confused.
For 6 months, 1,500.
So we are sending the recruits to a different academy, and I guess there is different timelines on that. On POST's requirements, they look at, it's 5 months when it's all said and done. I want to say it's 20 weeks. Is what POST will reimburse the city up to.
Okay.
But in addition to what POST reimburses the city for, the city is also paying for the cadets' full salary to go through school and the full wages and benefits. So really what POST is reimbursing the city, I'm going to make up a number, say 20%, but it's not the full cost recovery of sending a cadet through the academy.
Okay, but this is 2.5 times more than what we were paying before.
Correct.
I just want to be clear. If a cadet leaves the academy and decides to go somewhere else, do we still get reimbursed for those costs?
Up to when they were through the academy.
Okay. The moving allowance, are those paid to the services or paid to the employee, to the police officer, or to the employee? This is more than just police officers.
So the typical process is to provide them in lieu housing fee, so that goes on their payroll check. There is applicable tax deductions that apply, and this recruit time frame, we are going to provide the allowance, the last paycheck of the month for the preceding month payment.
I think I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about the moving allowance. There's $10,000 for reasonable moving expenses.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just wondered, does that matter where you're moving from, or is it just a $10,000 goes to the employee, period?
No. That program is actual expenditures up to $10,000.
Oh,
so
wow.
We do require moving receipts or sort invoices and the like.
And then I know we've discussed the housing loan assistance, which I am 100% for. I think it's a great option. However, I noticed that in the instances where someone is no longer working for the department, the city will strive to get the loan repaid as quickly as possible, but will continue to honor the 15-year term. If they are no longer working here, why don't we have it due and payable?
I don't think that was I'm going to put words in Elizabeth's mouth. I don't think it was something like legally we were allowed to do.
It was not an option to do?
Right. Or we can't change the term midway through. It's just because of the term of employment. And
okay.
So even when we've only had one individual that's taken advantage of this so far, and he has left the agency. I mean, he did repay back the loan right away as soon as he sold the house. So this is just more, I think, of a protection to try to make sure that intent is it for you to work here. The intent is
sure.
Not for you to come on board. And
no, and it's a great incentive, and I love it.
And we do recognize there is some risks involved in this.
Okay.
I mean, even the cadets could just drop out of the academy one month in, and then we've already already invested all those dollars to them or her.
That was it. Thank you.
Okay. Fred, you had nothing to pull over here? Nothing. I do want to talk about item 2 more in depth. So by our rules, we need to put that at this end of discussion. That has to do with the council meeting schedule. So I'll go to the public. Anybody wishing to pull or have any questions on anything on consent calendar? If not, we'll bring it back to council for discussion and or action.
So, Mayor Hammond, I'd like to make a motion. We approve items 1, 3 through 9.
Second.
Okay, motion by Pro Tem Gregory, second by Councilman Bausch. Any discussion? Okay, we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. Moving on, we'll open the public hearings, and the first item tonight is going to be the tentative amendment for planning area 9 of the Olson Ranch tract 3149. And Warren, do you have that item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. You'll recall you continued this item from the previous agenda because it was not ready. This item is still not ready for a hearing tonight. We're recommending you continue it once again, date certain, to your November 5th, 2024 agenda.
Okay, so open up to the public. Anybody wishing to make a comment on this item before we take action? Bring it back to council.
I move we continue the item.
Second.
Pro Tem Gregory for the motion and second by Councilman Strong. All in favor? Do we have to do a motion? I mean, a roll call.
I believe we do.
Yeah, let's just do roll call on this, okay. Please.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. Item 2, public hearings is rezoning and development plan, Spring Street mixed use, affordable housing, density bonus project, and it looks like we're going to have Katie Bannister.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Hammond and Council. So the next hearing is for a mixed-use project proposed at 1745 Spring Street. Involved with this is a number of entitlements. The first is to rezone the property to include the resort lodging overlay. In addition, there is a development plan for the actual appearance and site planning for the project, and then conditional use permit for a wine tasting room associated with the project as well. So here is the location. This is just south of 18th Street, south of the Paso Market Walk, just to the east of the Christian Life Center Church, and to the north of the Kuhl Nicolay Funeral Home. This is in the T3F zoning district. It's part of the Uptown Town Center specific plan. There are about 2,100 square feet to the site. I believe it's three underlying lots of the original subdivision of the city, which were 7,000 square foot lots. There was previously a Chevron gas station on the site. It was developed in 1963 and then demolished a couple of decades ago. The applicant has worked with, there were some leaking underground tanks on the site, and those have been remediated over the years. So as I said, there are a number of entitlements. The first is largely because of the leaking underground tanks and the scope of the project. The project was not exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. And so the first resolution that you'll be considering this evening is for a mitigated negative declaration to address the environmental impacts of the project. The next would be the next entitlement is to rezone the property, as I mentioned, to add that resort lodging overlay district. This is an existing overlay district that does exist in other portions of the city, and so the applicant is requesting that it be applied to this property. There is a development plan associated with the project that does include an affordable housing density bonus. There's a lot of state law around affordable housing density bonuses and things that the city is required to approve once an affordable housing a percentage of units are dedicated to low-income households. There are bonuses and concessions that the applicant is eligible for. As I stated, the last is a conditional use permit for a wine tasting room on the ground floor. So this is a look at the resort lodging overlay district. Lots of words, but as I said, it's an existing overlay district. It does allow the council to consider and selectively provide appropriate locations for resorts and hotels and similar forms of visitor serving lodging. It is a goal of the city to become an end destination tourist attraction, and the city council can the considerations that the council should base their approval include compatibility with adjacent and nearby land uses and the adequacy of streets and highways to handle anticipated traffic. So the development plan for the project does include about 3,500 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor. That does encompass two commercial spaces for future tenants, one of which would be a wine tasting room. There are 16 hotel rooms proposed in the building, and that would be dependent upon the resort lodging overlay district being applied to the site. There are eight residential apartments that are proposed, one of which is would be deed restricted for an affordable unit to a very low-income household. The project also includes some outdoor amenities, including an enclosed courtyard on the ground floor and a rooftop patio. Here's a look at the architecture of the project. So here we're looking to the northwest, or on Spring Street, looking to the northwest. You can see the funeral home to the left of the, or on the left side of the image there. And then in the background, that's the Paso Market Walk. We've now moved to the corner of 18th, and we're looking back to the southwest. You can see another side of the building. Continuing in our, I shouldn't have got myself into this, I think counterclockwise spin around the property. This, we're on 18th Street, and we're looking to the southeast now. So at the back of the property, they'll be utilizing the alley to access the site. There's some covered parking, and then there's some additional uncovered parking as well. And now we're in the alley and we're looking to the northeast. Again, you can see the covered parking, and then the uncovered parking is closer to us. The plum trees here, the purple trees, are actually the Kuhl Nicolay's parking lot that's adjacent to the site. Looking at the site plan, there are the orange encompasses the roof of the building. We look at the ground floor. There are two tenant spaces now shown in blue. There are additionally two hotel units that are on the ground floor, adjacent to the courtyard that's on the ground floor as well. The second and third floor include a mixture of both residential and hotel units. The hotel units on the second floor are in orange, and the residential units are now in yellow. On the third floor, a similar mix. You've got hotel units in orange, and then there is one residential unit on that on the third floor. On the fourth floor, as I said, there is an elevator that goes to the top, and one of the concessions we'll see in a future slide is a height exception that's largely driven by this elevator, and then there's a rooftop patio there as well. So the project meets all the development standards of the Uptown Town Center specific plan with two exceptions. The first is for height. The maximum height allowed in the T3F zoning district is 36 feet. The bulk of the building largely meets that standard. The main bulk of the building is 35 feet, 6 inches. There is a mechanical screen that exceeds that height, and then the elevator is more than 46 feet in height. Additionally, the project does not meet its parking requirements. There are 26 parking spaces required, and only 21 are provided. Both of the development standards that are not met by the project, the applicant has requested that they receive a concession for those two development standards that they would be entitled to because of that affordable housing density bonus. So here's some discussion about parking. Because there's a mixture of uses, the total number of parking spaces required is 26, and the total proposed is 21, as mentioned previously. So looking at the affordable density bonus that is requested, so in the T3F zoning district, the maximum density that's allowed is 12 units to the acre. Six density units would be allowed on this half-acre site. The applicant is proposing one unit for a very low-income household, which is 17% of the total. The project is eligible, therefore, for a 50% density bonus and three concessions. They are requesting a 33% density bonus for two additional units to get to the eight residential units and two concessions for height and for parking. This is some of the California government code related to the affordable housing density bonus. Essentially, the city would need to prove with a written finding based upon substantial evidence that the concessions or incentives do not result in identifiable and actual cost reductions in order to deny them. Staff has not been able to provide that evidence, and none is in the staff report. So staff is recommending that the concessions be granted on this project. As I stated, the last entitlement that the applicant is requesting is a conditional use permit. Wine tasting is conditionally allowed in the T3F zoning district on Spring Street only. There are adjacent uses that include wine tasting uses like the Paso Market Walk, but also some sensitive uses nearby, the Kuehl Nicolay Funeral Home and then the Christian Life Center across the alley. There are some conditions of approval related to noise, but it may be that the council feels that there are additional conditions needed in order to keep this wine tasting use compatible with these adjacent uses. Here's a shortened list of the conditions of approval that are included in the draft resolutions in front of you. One would be that only hotel guests and long-term tenants can use the outdoor areas. That's largely driven by parking. If those areas were open to the commercial uses, they would need to be parked at a different ratio. Additionally, no food or alcohol service would be allowed on the rooftop patio. That's also due to parking and then also some noise concerns. The applicant will be required to provide angled parking on 18th Street, which will result in additional parking on 18th. It'll increase from, now I'm going to get the number wrong, I believe it was an additional three parking spaces. Right now it's just parallel parking on 18th. The applicant will need to make some street improvements to both Spring Street and 18th Street, as well as reconstruct the alley. They'll likely need to upsize the water main and replace the clay sewer pipe that's in the existing pipe in the alley. In addition, under consideration is a mitigated negative declaration that includes a number of mitigation measures. There are some aesthetic concerns about exterior lights, so they'll need to shield those. There are some greenhouse gas considerations that were brought up by the Air Pollution Control District that would require just putting in electrical panels with capacity for a future all-electric retrofit. It does seem like the state is likely going in that direction in the future, and the APCD is trying to get ready for those, and then also to provide conduit for EV battery charging in the future. There's some additional requirements related to hazards. As I said, there were some leaking underground tanks on the site, and so the applicant will need to work with the Regional Water Control Board to have a soils management plan for any existing or remaining leaking. You know, there were hydrocarbons in the soil, and it's possible there's some that remain, and so they'll need to work with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And then, as I stated, there's some noise concerns about the outdoor areas, and so those would only be open to tenants of the residential units and the hotel units. I guess I continued on. They've got some transportation impacts that they'll also need to mitigate. So constructing a bulbout at the corner of 18th and Spring, that'll match what got constructed with the Market Walk. And then there is a site distance concern with some of the existing parking on 18th Street, so they'll need to address that. And then there's some warning signs that need to be installed. The City Council has options. The first would be to approve the project by adopting the draft resolutions that are presented in the staff report. The second would be to approve the project with modifications by amending and then adopting those resolutions. You could send the project back to the Planning Commission or staff for additional analysis, or you could deny the project by making findings of denial. The Planning Commission did hear this item and made recommendations to the Council. They did vote 6-0 for the Council to approve the mitigated negative declaration and to allow the rezoning, to allow the resort lodging overlay district to be placed on the site. There was one dissenting vote on the Planning Commission regarding the development plan, and that was largely related to the parking and the lack of providing the full parking requirement. And I believe that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you, Katie. Yeah, first council questions for Katie. Councilman Strong.
Yes, one question. That is the low-income unit deed restricted?
That is correct. It will be deed restricted for 55 years.
Thank you.
Councilman Bausch.
Not to make too big of a deal of it, but on the last site, there's one tank that had been punctured and removed, so there are no tanks. There weren't any multiple leaking tanks. I keep hearing plural. Can we clarify that?
I apologize if I misspoke. I know that the tanks have been remediated. I'm not sure how many, but I know all, whether it's one or, you know, however many.
And that was back when the gas station was being deconstructed. The backhoe operator punctured one of the tanks and a small amount of fuel leaked out. That's my recollection of the site. Thank you.
Councilman Roden.
Well, this may be a fruitless battle, but parking. If you just take the tenants, which there are 8 units, right? And I know that we've had this discussion before with one parking space per bedroom, and they're all one bedroom units, right?
The residential units, yes, they are.
And the hotels, are they all one bedroom units as well?
Studio or one bedroom, correct?
I'm sorry?
Some of them are studios, like a typical hotel room where there's no separate bedroom, and then some do have a separated bedroom.
Okay. But just take the 8 and the 16, that's 24. We're already over what the allowable is of 21.
Correct.
Now, people are going to be living there, so that means so when people check into the hotel, they're going to be taking their parking spots, unless there's reserved parking for people who live there. Is there?
There was a large discussion about this at the Planning Commission, and there was opinions on both sides whether or not it would make sense to restrict the parking to specific uses or to allow them to be used in a mixed fashion. The Uptown Town Center specific plan has a built-in mixed-use shared parking reduction that's allowed just for any mixed-use project. And the reason that it works is if all the uses share, because some uses have a heavier demand in the day, and some have a heavier demand in the evening, and some have a heavier demand in the overnight. And so the idea is that the shared parking all be shared. And I believe that is the applicant's preference, is to allow them to all be shared. But certainly it is within the council's purview to, you know, to put a condition of approval to restrict.
Well, units. When you have a hotel, and tenants, most likely they're all going to be shared at night and aren't enough to go around, especially if there are two people in one on each one of those rental units, that they both go to work. Now we're down another eight. That doesn't even take into consideration the parking for the businesses downstairs. Where are they going to park?
The parking requirement is 26, and the calculation you can see here on the screen, 16 parking spaces, 18 parking spaces required for the hotel, 8 are required for the non-residential or those commercial spaces are what are required.
I have 16 and 8, 26, but they're only providing 21. Am I off?
No, that is correct. So the hotel, there's 16 hotel units, and so that's 16 parking spaces. They're also required to provide parking for the staff on the largest shift, which is 2. So in this case, the entire hotel requirement is 18, and then you've got the 8 for the commercial spaces.
So they are required to provide 26 or 20?
26 is the requirement.
26 is the requirement. We all know that's not going to be enough, because it doesn't even take into account whatever the businesses are downstairs and what the requirements are for that. We went through this, I wasn't sitting here at the time, but we went through this with the market walk, and I'm right. I was right then. People are parking over on Oak Street, on the bordering streets, in front of houses and everything else, taking up their parking. The employees are. So that they have parking down there. This isn't going to be adequate for this. Now, it may just be a situation where that's what you get when you're able to reduce by offering a low-income housing. But that low-income housing probably has one or two vehicles as well. So I worry that it's just going to create a problem for that neighborhood, and it's going to just couple it up again. Yeah, and as Mr. Strong said, it might be state law, but it's not reasonable, especially for the neighborhood. That's just my opinion.
Is that all you had, Chair, on that then? Is that all you had then for that, your questions? Okay.
So that's John's question.
I had a question, but go ahead. If you want to go to Barry, go ahead.
So, I noticed that they're going to replace the parking on the north side of 18th next to the project with angled parking. How many parking spots do we gain by doing that?
I have forgotten the number. I believe it was a plus 3 over what is there today.
All right. And then can you go to the next to the last slide? I had a question on that one. At the very end. Maybe one prior. Sorry. Okay, yeah, that's the question I had. Can you explain what installed pedestrian warning sign on the southeast corner? Is that just a flashing light on Spring on the southeast? Because that's across the street, right?
I am not sure if that's actually flashing or if it's just the yellow signs with the pedestrian there. I believe it would say flashing if that was intended. I believe it's just the big yellow sign showing a person.
Okay, but that's on the south side. I mean, on the east side of Spring, not the same side as the hotel, correct?
It goes from the hotel
is on the south side of Spring, and so it would be on the opposite. It would be on the opposite side of Spring Street, but still right. 18th and Spring.
Okay, and then my other question is: the applicant, if they wanted to, could designate permanent parking for residents, or is that against the law?
No, that you could certainly require.
Just want to make sure there's no weird requirement for the state. Okay. Those are all my questions. I have several comments, but I'll wait until afterwards. Thank you.
Yeah, my questions, Katie, are along the parking lines, too. First off is on 18th Street, did we condition the marketplace to have diagonal parking on their southern boundary? That's parallel, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what I thought still.
isn't it? Yes.
Right, and there's not adequate width in those roads to have it on both.
That's exactly why I was asking, because I thought 18th was a pretty narrow street, and to have two diagonal parking, and, you know, it's not going to work, obviously, but you do have it now on the south side only.
Apparently. Right, and there's actually the angled parking adjacent to the church just to the west, and so this would continue
on to Oak Street.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And the next thing I thought, and I think we've been listening to discussion, I think we did answer that question for myself with, it's not dedicated parking, they're shared parking spaces on site. In other words, they're not dedicated to a certain type of use on the property.
As currently drafted, the resolutions would not require any of the parking spaces to be dedicated for a particular use. That's how it's currently written.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's all I have. I'm going to open it up maybe to Tobin or George. You guys want to say anything to us before we open up to the public?
So we don't actually take presentations mid-meeting. We have to review them ahead of the meeting? Is it something that Katie or Warren already has access to?
That's, I got my question. Yeah. Just a city council.
Hope not.
Is this the applicant's presentation?
Yes.
George? Yeah, okay.
So as a policy, we don't put public flash drives into the city system for cybersecurity reasons.
That is not something that we usually do?
Yeah, we don't do that.
Okay.
So if we have it in a format that we can...
Well, maybe George, if you want to start speaking while Warren maybe pulls the file up.
Sure, be happy to... that's why. Yeah. Eric Hammond, member of the council. Sorry for the technical snafu here. George Garcia with Garcia Architecture and Design. I'm here with Tobin James and his son Michael. Happy to be here. Sounds like we're going to have a healthy discussion about parking, which, as Katie mentioned, we did at Planning Commission as well. So, but ahead of that, I want to thank staff. We've been working on this project for probably 2.5 years,
yeah.
Coming up on 3, quite a while. Gone through a lot of iterations. There's a lot of moving parts to this. Parking is just one item that we worked very hard to try and solve. Again, it's a multi mixed use, vertically integrated mixed use project, in that there is not just housing, but we have a hotel component. We have some ground floor commercial facing Spring Street. So again, I want to applaud staff for our joint tenacity to get it to this far. And again, we were Planning Commission last month, had good discussions about not just parking, but the uses and how things are going to function. And so I was hoping to go through some more detail about the architecture. The project has gone through DRC twice, and the last iteration, which is the project before you, received full marks for design, which we're happy about. But again, this property has been around for quite a while. It was a gas station for decades. We do have our Clean Bill of Health letter from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I don't know how many tanks were there, but I can guarantee you that they are all been removed, and the site has been remediated. So we've got that hurdle behind us, although there are some conditions which we are happy with regarding if we do find anything during excavation. As many of you know, even when the site's fully clean, it's never fully clean 100%. So we're fine with those conditions. And going through the staff report, there are 3 resolutions, one to do with the rezone or the overlay zone to the hospitality, hotel motel, the use permit for the tasting room, which to clarify will be a downtown tasting room for Tobin James Winery. That's been something that has been in the works for a while, and this obviously made a lot of sense to locate it here. And then the hotel component, again, that's the concept there is going to be part of the Tobin James hospitality brand. So the idea is it would function in concert with the tasting room. Out-of-town guests can stay there. Wine club members can stay there. So there's really going to be a great opportunity for Tobin, who's been kind of out on 46th East for decades, to sort of come into Paso Robles. And we see a lot of wineries now coming into downtown Paso, making a presence with a small tasting room. And I think that's great for the city. While we continue to work through our legal and technical problems, maybe I can discuss parking. Obviously, that's a concern, yeah, I think I'm hearing. Yeah. So the project is required to have 26 spaces. That's right out of the zoning code. There's an allowance for mixed use and shared. And again, the way that that functions primarily with the residential uses and the commercial, and this is not just City of Paso, any jurisdiction in California that pushes a lot of these mixed-use projects. The concept there is the spots are used by the residences at night. They come home 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, they find a parking space. About that time is when the businesses close down. Again, we're going to have a wine tasting room and some other type of use, might be a coffee shop, we don't know, but those are going to be daytime uses, okay? So when the residents come home from a day at work, 5:30, 6 o'clock, those businesses are now closing. So those customers are now going home and freeing up those parking spaces where the residents can now come and park. The hotel is somewhat quasi-residential, right? It's a nighttime overnight use. It's a little more transient than permanent residences, but it's the same idea. And so Councilman Roden, to answer the question, the concept of, and again, we talked about this at Planning Commission, of earmarking or dedicating or reserving spaces simply doesn't work in a mixed-use project. The reduction is predicated on the fact that it's first come, first serve. No one gets a reserved spot. Doesn't matter if you're a commercial, if you own the business, or if you're a hotel high roller, or if you're a residential tenant, or even if you're fortunate enough to get the workforce housing unit, it doesn't matter. It's a very democratic process, the way that the mixed-use parking works, but it only works if it's not earmarked or reserved for any particular person or any particular use. And again, it's the offset. You think about the commercial, it's busy during the day. The hotel people are gone. They're out doing whatever they're doing, hopefully shopping in the downtown. The residential folks, again, they're gone at work. So the reality is during the day, there's going to be more parking than we need for just the two commercial. And again, that sort of flips over about 5-6 o'clock at night. When the commercial space is closed down, residences come back. So that's, in general, the way that the mixed-use shared parking concept works on these mixed-use projects. So, okay, we're up and running. Apologies, this is the presentation I showed at Planning Commission, but it is the exact same project. Okay. So I'll go quick. A lot of this Katie shared with us, but again, it's 3,300 square feet of ground floor, Spring Street facing new commercial, 8 residential units with a mix of affordable and market rate. And again, those affordable units will be deed restricted per state standards. 16-room boutique hotel with a rooftop amenity. And again, there's not only the shared parking, but there's also a shared outdoor private ground floor courtyard, which will be shared equally by the hotel guests as well as the residences. And then 21 on-site parking spaces. In addition to that, again, we had a discussion at Planning Commission. We are also providing 10 bike parking. Again, we're all about multimodal transportation, alternate transportation. And while the bike parking isn't required, we've felt if one of those things, if you build it, they will use it, specifically for projects in the downtown. So having an ample amount of bike parking, we hope will also alleviate those folks who maybe would think about having two cars, maybe they can get by with one car, or ideally no cars if they end up working in the downtown and they can use alternate transportation. So again, our entitlement strategy with the use permits and the overlay, as well as the development plan, is to come in with a project that has a lot of facets, but primarily is housing and has an affordable component to it, again, which will allow us to leverage the state allowed incentives for additional height and the parking reduction 26 down to 20. Again, quickly going through the slides, which now we're off. Get back here. Yeah. So very quickly, again, in terms of the design, as I mentioned, we went to DRC twice. We had two different iterations of the project. The one you see before you is the one that was supported by the DRC. We want to kind of scroll through these. We took a contextual look, again, at what's around. You folks have driven up down the site many times. There's kind of an eclectic collection, we should say, of architecture surrounding it, behind and during the alley. And then, of course, next door we have the Passive Walk, which is a little more contemporary architecture. So our approach was to sort of take elements from all of these and hopefully come up with something that is speaks to the neighborhood using the same materials, but is also unique in its own architecture and its own vocabulary and aesthetic. So I'm going to keep going through these. Again, Katie did a good job at this. We have the site plan. You see the large area in the middle that's running vertical. That's the private courtyard, which is an amenity space for the residential as well as the hotel. That will not be accessed by the commercial. We had a lot of discussions about that because, again, that would generate more commercial, which means more parking. So we're agreeing that that will be strictly a very private space, only accessible to the residential and the hotel users. And the floor plan, again, the commercial space is along Spring Street, and you can see the parking. All of it's taken off the alley. One thing that hopefully your transportation managers will appreciate, there's currently 4 driveway curb cuts, 2 on Spring, 2 on 18th. All of those are going away. We're going to replace it with full curb gutter and sidewalk, and the only access to the site will actually be through the existing alley off the back. So we're doing some good traffic mitigation. And one thing, again, back on parking, it did come up, again, at the Planning Commission. We are in agreement to go ahead and improve 18th Street with the angle parking. That's going to yield, again, another 3 or 4 spaces off-site. We're fine with that and happy to comply with that condition. As we just keep going through these, Warren, as we move up, again, on the left side of the alley, which is on the west, we have the residential units. And again, over the commercial on Spring is where we have the hotel rooms primarily. And as we keep going up, the area on the left is only 2-story against the alley because we want to be respectful of the height and the massing of the Christian Center across the alleyway. And then the third story here facing Spring Street on the right-hand side. And then here's the rooftop. The building is actually going through DRC. We kind of took a different approach. Instead of having one long building, we sort of broke it up into 2 smaller buildings. I think it helps the massing, breaks down the architecture a little bit. So you can see here, it's going to have the appearance of really 2 separate buildings. And here's the Spring Street front elevation. As Katie mentioned, the bulk of the building actually complies with the height. I'd say 90% of it, 95% of it. It's just the rooftop screen for the equipment and the 8x8 elevator tower.
Elevator.
It's exceeding that. This is a good example of how we're showing that, again, stepping down the massing, we put all the bulk along Spring Street, along the commercial corridor, where it really should go. And as we move towards the west, towards the alley, you can see how the building kind of nicely steps down into a 2-story effect. And again, Katie showed these, but again, these are finished renderings of the project from 18th and Spring Street, looking back towards the building, towards town. This is on 18th Street, where hopefully we'll have angled parking right in front of the alley. And again, from the other side of the alley behind the funeral home, looking back at the project. And then back looking kind of north up Spring Street to the north at the project itself. And a few more things. Again, we were kind of wanting to get excited about the tasting room and talking with Tobin James and his group about the concept of an upscale saloon, right? If you've been out to the Tobin James Winery, it's very much of the Paso vernacular, if I can use that term. So we wanted to obviously translate that here to a downtown tasting room, but have it somewhat elevated. So the idea of an elevated modern saloon kind of batted around. We're not sure if the taxidermy horse is going to make it to the finish line, but it's a good concept. But you can see that we're planning a very high quality project. This is a property that Tobin's owned for a while, and he wants to do what we call a legacy project for his family, something that'll stay in the family for a long time, and that would start with the presence of the tasting room. So, one final shot of the hotel rooms, again, very upscale, very well-appointed, high-quality project for not just the family, but for the city of Paso as well. So I think that's the last slide. Again, we're in favor of staff support of the conditions. We read through them and we're in full support of the conditions as read. happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
Okay. First, we'll start on my far left. Councilman Broden, questions for the applicant.
Well, I understand that you're actually asking, and let me tell you, I like the building. I think it's pretty. I like, and believe me, there's going to be somebody get on that horse if you have it in there. It's going to create problems. But I understand you have to change the zoning because you can't have a hotel in a T3F zone where it is now. If it were there, then you would be required to have 45 spaces. Going to the TC2 and with the low-income housing requirement that we have with this is what I take it reduces the spaces down to 26 spaces required. Is that where we're at, is 26?
26 spaces are required per your zoning code.
Right. And you're providing 26 or 21?
21. Hence the parking reduction request.
Okay. Well, really, that's my only hang up, because I think it's really going to have an effect on the community. I know that's the main street of town, but you're just a half a block off from neighborhoods. But I think it's a beautiful project.
Thank you.
Councilman Strong.
Can I ask a question of Toby Shamrock?
Who?
Toby Shamrock.
Oh, Toby.
Okay. Oh, no, I guess everybody calls him James. That's his middle name. Can you grab the mic, Toby?
Thank you, mentioned Mayor, that. Also, for considering our project.
He mentioned that some of your rooms are for wine club members.
Well, my whole thought behind starting the hotel project is that we bring so many people into Paso Robles, where my first thing always has been Orange County people, LA County, come on up. Give us your money, then leave.
Exactly.
Basically, you know, and so it's another project, you know, that would be part of the family. And I don't know how many hotels are locally owned, but I think a lot of them aren't, probably. But the club member, we just I think it's just one way of putting people in those rooms, but you know, it's just a positive sign of that we would be able to, you know, be in business and make sure we have customers. We have a very strong.
That's my question. Are those rooms going to be exclusively for family and members?
No. It would be, it won't be exclusive.
Okay,
I mean,
it sounded like it was a promotion to try to build a wine club.
Huh?
It sounded like it was a promotion to try to build the wine club.
Well, I guess in a perfect world, it'd be for our club members if we could, you know, any way to stay in business and put people in our rooms is probably the way we're going to do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's what I was wondering.
Just a comment. Yeah.
It looked like a great marketing scheme.
I never really thought about it. Maybe we'll just do club members only. I'm not sure.
Just a comment, Tobin. I think what I've heard in the past that you have the largest wine club in the United States, don't you?
That's what they say. You know, there hasn't been a government study that came out and told me that. I've never talked to anybody that has a bigger one than us.
All I'm trying to say is you might look forward to a few more of these properties than some down the road. I mean.
Yeah. And you know, we've got faithful customers, and we take care of them, and they realize that we put out a good product, and this hotel should be a good product also.
Very good. Any good other job. Questions of Tobin before he leaves?
Yeah, I do have one question.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Are you sure one table counter is enough for the tasting room? You don't want to have three or four counters to taste at?
Yeah,
like
sure.
You do at your other place?
Like I started with one bar, now I've got three of them out there. Yeah, you know, I started my winery with me and my dog, basically, and now we've got 55 employees out there, and the thing we're proudest about is being Paso Robles and giving people, a salary and taking care of our customers and our people that work for us.
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Councilman Bouch.
Tobin, this project property has seen a lot of iterations. I think you can be proud of all of them, but I think this one has really hit a home run. Well done to you, to George. Appreciate your vision. I think it'll be a big enhancement to expanding what downtown can be as we move into the future. So thanks for hanging in there.
Yeah, you guys, all my kids are born here, and I've been here 45 years, and we want to take care of Paso Robles, and I think we're going to help the northern part of town a little bit there, just looking at the positive thing that might come out of it, and it seems like town's growing that way a little bit, and we want to be part of it.
Very good. George, I had a question for you, if you don't mind. With regard to the diagonal parking or angle parking on 18th, how many actual spaces do we have there? And then also, how many parallels do we have off of Spring Street? I'm just curious.
So I wish Joe Chouinard was here because he was your planning commission and he had the numbers. But as I recall, at the end of the day, when we get rid of the parallel parking due diagonal, there's going to be 9 spaces total, I believe is what he said.
9.
They have to reserve some space because they can't get too close to the alley for site visibility.
Right.
We're also doing the bulb out as a condition, so we're going to match the bulb out that's across the street at Paso Walk. So I want to say there's going to be a total of 9, and right now there's maybe 4 or 5.
Okay. So
Spring
if you
Street,
have...
that's another, to follow that up, Spring Street, we would love to have more parking on there. Obviously not angled, but parallel would be fine. As I mentioned, where there's 2 driveway curb cuts from the old gas station, those will go away. It'll be full curb gutter and sidewalk for the whole width. The only thing we have to work on is the bus stop, which is right smack dab in the middle of the property. So assuming we have a favorable outcome, I have a call into RTA to see if we can't relocate that to somewhere else on the block.
Ooh, yeah.
Just so we can get more street parking. Because quite frankly, I don't know about you folks, but when I go to a commercial space and there's parking right on the street, that's what I'm going to take. I'm not going to drive around to the back. We're, closest to the front door kind of mentality. So,
okay. All right.
Question on that?
Yeah, Brett.
On that bus stop, I'm on the board of directors for the RTA.
Okay.
So I'm very curious. Do you have a proposal as to where to move that?
No. You can't. So I use the analogy, you can't get to second base till you get to first base. So we're hoping to get a positive approval for the project, and then afterwards, maybe Mr. Strong will have a discussion. But
sure.
I know it's very they're very particular about where they are in terms of the block. So I think at best we can maybe slide it in between our property and the funeral home or some other location. But I haven't really had any proposal yet until we get past the city entitlements.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes, we'd be happy to talk to you.
Okay,
Sharon, go ahead.
One other question. There's 2 commercial spaces there, right? You want to have the wine tasting room in one. Would there be a restaurant in the other one? You don't.
Yeah, Tobin, we really need to get you into the microphone to record you, but maybe George can answer that.
Yeah, I can summarize on that. I think the comment too before about should there be 2 or 3 bars, it gets back to parking, right? We don't want to overbuild it and have so many customers, and obviously that's a good problem to have, but that would be a problem for the neighborhood.
Well, that was my concern. Yeah. If it does have the option of having a restaurant, then we've just complicated the whole evening parking as well.
Yeah. Again, there isn't any discussions. The only discussion I think Michael had was possibly a coffee shop, which would be focused in the morning. But at this point, again, got to get to first base. We need to get the project approved in order to figure out what's going to happen in there. But keep in mind, too, these are fairly small lease spaces. It's 3,300 square feet total. The winery is going to actually take the smaller space. And as Tobin mentioned, it's a unique hybrid where a lot of hospitality boutique hotels are going this route. There is no formal lobby. It's usually combined with a restaurant, or in this case, the wine bar.
So the staff who are manning the wine bar, they will actually be checking people in. Again, 16 rooms. It's not a 100-room Hyatt. It's going to be very customer-focused. And so the idea is that we're actually doubling up on the hotel lobby slash tasting room, to, again, to have that whole Tobin James experience the moment you walk in.
Very good. Any other questions from council? All right, we'll go ahead and open up then to the public. Anyone wishing to address the item, please come forward.
Mayor Hammond, I do have some callers online.
We have callers. Go ahead.
First up is Wendy Lopez.
Okay, Wendy, can you hear us? Wendy, hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Wendy, go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Hold on a second here, I wrote it all down. Before they built the market, we the neighbors, I live on Oak and in between 17th and 18th, and we were told that that corner was going to be made into a playground for children, and we were promised this, and so we didn't fight against the market. The market has been there. We haven't seen a park. We have no parking on our streets at all during the day and at night on the weekends. I'm handicapped, and I have to park blocks away from my house. When I'm walking home, there's drunks all around, coming from the market, coming from the center of town, too. I won't say it's all from the market, but, I mean, I'm finding alcohol bottles, paraphernalia in the alleys. I mean, it's not safe to walk around anymore. And we want to put in another wine tasting right here that, taller than all the buildings around. What about the children in the area? Nobody's looking out for them. What happened with the park? Why are we letting these drunks and disorderlies around our schools? We've got Bauer and Speck right there. We have children we need to worry about. I have grandchildren going to come soon, and I don't want them near this. And the building, I'm sorry you say it, to look like the rest of Paso. That thing looks like a dormitory, a military dormitory. All the buildings around here in this section of Paso, they're all historic. Our house was built in 1890. All the houses around me were built around then. Look at the funeral home. I mean, this looks nothing like Paso and what we want to bring to Paso. I mean, I'm really hoping you guys will think about this. There's no parking. I don't know what you want to do with that. I mean, we need more parking, and we need more parks for the children. You guys are leaving the children out of all the planning. And look at what happens. Everything, cars get damaged, buildings get damaged. I mean, if we want to build up this town, we need to look at the future, and the future is our children, and nobody's thinking of them at all. Please, all of you on the council, think about this. I mean, there's no room. Kids are going to get hit on their way to school or on their way home from school because people are coming in and driving to get to the place so they can get their parking spot because, you know, it only opens up at this time.
Wendy,
we don't think about that, but we do.
Wendy, if you could summarize, please. That's 3 minutes. Go ahead, though.
Think of the kids, please, and think of us that are handicapped and can't walk to our own homes. I have to have my son come pick me up 3 blocks away so I can get home. That's not fair to me or the children.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next is Alvin Ogle.
You said Alan?
Alvin.
Alvin. Alvin, can you hear us? Hello, Alvin?
Hello, yeah, sorry, I was talking, but it wasn't going yet. My name is Alvin Ogle, 1709 Oak Street is my address. I've been a resident of this neighborhood for over two decades.